everybody, and welcome to the Storage Review Podcast. With us today is Adam, the only man who hates Baby Yoda.
Yes, I do. Hashtag hate Baby Yoda.
And Kevin is here too.
Yeah, I'm still here.
And we're still here. You missed last week, but out this week is Tom. He couldn't make it. He sent an email right before recording that says, I will not be attending the podcast today. The flu killed my throat. I think it's a Spanish flu. The same one that killed 10% of population in 1919. I added a lot of words there because he typed it as if he was dead, skipping all the
prepositions. Well, he shouldn't complain.
He's
obviously not part of the 10% that died, so he has immunity. He's just being inconvenienced.
That's a good point. And Adam and I were talking about the Spanish flu before and found out that it was named the Spanish flu because Spain was neutral during World War I, or at least that time, and it was easier to make it seem like it was a Spanish problem and not a problem for the rest of the world, which it was. And I was wondering how he would have gotten the Spanish flu. It's the H1N1. That's the swine flu, right?
Swine flu, yes. It's awful. Awful thing to have.
It's awful. You've read about it or what?
I've had the swine flu 2005 or 6. My wife got it when she was in college. Ugh. And I took her to the hospital for it, and I was fine at the hospital. And the next day I woke up and thought I was going to die.
You were not fine.
No, I was. It was really awful. I'd never gotten a flu shot before that because I'd had the flu and was like, oh, this is easy. And since then, I've never missed one. So,
yeah, I'm in the not flu shot category either. My wife gets one every year. I think I have a superior genetic makeup, though.
I'll get them as I remember to. It's just...
There's a sign on every Walgreens and Kroger you go buy, a free flu shot.
Well, it's only free if your insurance covers it at that location, and I don't really want to spend the like $12 or something it costs.
Yeah,
and the
problem
I've run into is
$12.
They run the insurance. It's like, well, you'd have to go to an actual doctor to get it for free, or like, so it's like, okay, I have to schedule something else, whatever. I'd lose that little convenience factor, and because I'm a cheap asshole, it's like, it's gonna cost me like $10.
A confluence of factors will lead to you getting the flu.
Yes, then I'll spread it around the office. Don't worry.
Yeah, that sounds all the way about right. But Tom, I was looking at how you would get the Spanish flu, and it was mostly malnutrition and some other things, and lack of hygiene was a big
right.
one.
Yeah. He was sleeping on a couch at one of those events recently.
That is a good point. You and Tom were in San Diego, and
he got it from Kevin.
Well, you didn't share the room, did you?
No, I had a bed.
Yeah, he had a room that was used for meetings or something and had no bed or a bed on a table or a fold-away bed.
Yeah, a huge conference table. And I walk in there, I'm like, wait, where's, like, I was saying, man, this room's huge. Where's the bedroom? And then I look over and it was a pull-out couch. And he was swearing a little bit.
Yeah, well, at least he had a place to put his bags down, I suppose. Anyway, during the break, we did get a little bit of work done. We got a WDSN 550 SSD review done. That's a end user sort of mainstream M.2 NVMe SSD. Kevin, how'd that thing go in the lab?
It did really well. It was surprising that the level of it's not the highest performer that we've tested, but it had dramatic improvement from the previous generation it replaced. And, I mean, it's really cheap. And people...
I believe they prefer inexpensive or cost-effective.
It's very affordable.
There you go.
Incredibly affordable.
And, sorry, marketers.
Yes. And
screams in cyberspace there.
Not everything is both affordable and moderately performant. We've had other products that leverage other stylistic elements that kind of target different aspects, maybe the gaming area that focus more on...
You're not talking about the light-up one, are you?
I think I am.
All right, we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah, but it did well, and I'm happy to see that area still churning out products that I wouldn't mind buying.
Yeah, Yeah, it did well. I like from the design standpoint, they're still using the standard length, as we all think of it, M.2 board, but there's really only one NAND packet on it at the back end where you would screw it down to the board, and then the capacitors and controller and whatever other nonsense is near the interface side. These things have gotten to the point, though, where they could shave off 5/8 of this board and do a nice shorty design. I wonder if the laptop guys will thrust that upon the SSD vendors.
So I'm looking at pricing right now, and it was around $100 for the 1 terabyte version of that SN550.
That's amazingly.
So
that's almost cheap.
The incredible part about that is $100 is the price point of the Intel 660P and the Crucial P100. Those are both QLC products that you had to test in a very different way, sure, because they would just get crushed, sure, under heavy write workloads. This drive didn't have any of that problem. So for that same price, you could get something that's dramatically higher performance than a QLC product. You're not going to get the levels of, say, a Samsung Evo or a Samsung Pro, but you're also going to be at a much lower price point. So there are some really cool things about that drive.
So speaking of light-up drives, we also looked at the... Everyone get ready for this.
Can we talk about the word cost-effective real quick?
Just hold on. Hold on with that nonsense. ADATA, XPG, Spectrix, S40G, RGB, SSD, review. And you hinted to this one. This one has lights. And that was is this our first ever internal SSD with lights?
It might be, but it's hard to say. I've never looked at them before.
We've given up on that sort of gaming enthusiast segment years ago in terms of some of the hyper-specialized products for that audience.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer function over form. I'm buying a computer not to really look at, and for the most part, my computer's hidden under a pile of wires underneath my desk, and unless I'm tripping over the wires from it, I'm usually not looking inside.
Which does happen, so I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, as much as I just accused you like an hour ago of being a millennial, and when you came into the recording area here, you're not at all interested in organization and aesthetic, though, in your SSDs.
I mean, I'm not going to pay a premium for LEDs.
That is a big selling point of this drive, though, just to remind everyone reading it. I mean, it was fine. It wasn't like bad. It wasn't really good.
But yeah, it was
if you have a rig and you like to show it off, or it's neat to have something in there that does that, I mean, it's a fine choice for that.
Something very important just occurred to me. I think Tom might be sick of the Spanish fly, not the Spanish flu.
Oh, yeah.
You guys remember that from a 70s aphrodisiac? That'd be about right for Tom, wouldn't it?
The back of magazines and comic books.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, send away for like $4.
Yeah.
Cut it out. They would have that crap, the back of Mad Magazine and...
You had to cut out the barcode, too, and send it to prove that you bought the magazine.
But you had to prove you had the magazine?
Yeah.
And send your money, and then
I would buy these things.
Yeah.
X-ray glasses did not work, by the way.
No, they never did. ONTAP dropped 9.7 at the end of last year. We put it on our A800 and maybe the A200 we've got in here as well, and did a deep dive on a bunch of new features, a lot of stuff around FlexCache and Metro Cluster, in addition to a bunch of management enhancements. Kevin, I know you were pretty enthusiastic about some of the reporting changes.
Yeah, in the past, I believe we had to use a VM running Grafana to capture performance stats in real time from the array to graph out at a later point in time. Now all the stats can be collected internal. I think it's up to a year of recording, and it makes things a lot easier to diagnose what's going on. Before, if you were switching from like latency to IOPS or node A to node B, every single change on that home screen would reset the counter, and you'd have to wait more seconds or more intervals to have it populate again. Now you can make all those changes, and you're not losing that data. And you can look at what kind of real-time links, an hour out, like 6 hours. Like you have more flexibility there, where before you had to rely on a third-party solution.
Yeah, I think there's quite a bit going on there, but the UI enhancements, in addition to the ones I mentioned, I know were very high on their list. Adam, VMware finally closed the deal on Pivotal this past week.
Yeah, I was surprised and shocked. Couldn't believe.
Right. That's been a slow burn from EMC to an independent company to...
It's about 2012, I think.
But yeah, back to VMware, and It's an important piece of technology, though. It's the underpinnings of PKS, and it looks like VMware is taking a pretty strong hold in the enterprise, at least, in terms of having some control plane management over these container workloads.
Yeah, it was Tanzu uses PKS pretty heavily, sure. And now PKS basically is going to be part of Tanzu, I believe.
Yeah, I think it gives VMware a pretty strong position in the container conversation, and that's pretty exciting. Also, by the time this podcast drops, we'll have posted a review of another SSD. Which one do you have going on right now, Adam?
WD Red SA500 SSD for NAS.
Okay, so you know, we talked about the end user drive with the SN550 and their blue family. The red is the NAS family. And we have, we had four of these, right?
4 1-terabyte. Yeah. And this comes in hard drive, obviously, up to 14 terabytes.
Right, they've got the 14.
And they have an M.2 for the Synologies and the QNAPs that have the slots.
And the SSDs come up to 4 terabytes?
4 terabytes.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
$560 for the 4 terabyte one right now.
Yeah, another cost-effective solution.
Which is a good word.
Yeah, cost effective.
Contrary to what some vendors get agitated about.
Well, they just get mad when we say cheap sometimes they don't like inexpensive either.
Yeah, but cost effective rubs some of them the wrong way too. I mean,
because it sounds like you're politely saying cheap.
Well, I mean, cost effective means that it doesn't cost a lot and it works for what you want it for.
Well, back
it's
in the
kind
day,
of a clunky word. I mean, but
flash was the argument was as soon as flash gets down to a dollar a meg, then that'll be the magic number for a gig. That'll be the magic number for everyone to get on board. And now we're a tenth of that with some of these things. But yeah, we put that in a QNAP, right? 4 drives, did some work there.
1685, yeah.
Yeah. That's the caching and tiering is an interesting conversation for that sort of grade of SMB, SOHO, maybe some remote office NAS. Kevin, one of the things that has come up, and we haven't done a lot of work specific to this issue, but there is a bit of a question about endurance because, of course, the WD Red competes against the Iron Wolf from Seagate, which the Red's a little faster in reads, the Nitro or the Iron Wolf's faster in writes, but the Seagate product has a much higher endurance rating, 3x that of roughly of the Red.
Yeah, the Red, looking into that, 0.3 or 0.4 drive writes per day doesn't seem like much, but it also means that for a 1 terabyte drive, you're pushing 300 gigs of data on it per day. And for this market segment, you generally don't find a lot of people doing that. And there's a huge, there's a fairly significant price difference between the WD Red drive and the Seagate Nitros or the Iron Wolves, and depending on where you're looking at the market segment, it's like a 30-40% price difference. So while the Seagates do have that upper hand, they do offer higher performance on write speeds, which some is the benefit of higher over-provisioning. I don't know if that value is really going to be seen by customers that are looking to slot these into a consumer NAS.
Yeah, we should probably do, maybe not at the lower end of it, but we should probably figure out a way to do a little more work on the endurance side there to see if you put it into as a file share for a small office or a professional firm or something, how much abuse these things can take and still really stand up as a good cache tier sort of option, or even just a flash volume for something that needs higher performance.
I mean, for the market, it's Senate. I think it's pretty good for it. I mean, people are going to use it for a caching device, and it's just ideal for that.
Yeah, although I think in some of the documentation WD had, they were positioning towards like OLTP databases, which
it might be a stretch.
I'm not sure if people are going to be buying for that. Yeah. I mean, that might be a difference in just like what the drive's designed for versus what some marketing person went in as a use case.
Yeah, I mean, some of the...
We've seen that a time or two before, haven't we?
The more intense use cases by the time you get around to that, like 8K video editing, I mean, if it's more than one person at your firm doing it, it's time to...
Yeah, but if you're doing that on a NAS, you're going to obliterate most of those poor little...
You have other issues other than worrying about
CPUs
your...
CPUs as well, yeah.
...endurance of your drive.
So we've been catching up on some of the end user content, as you can see, over the holidays. Next week coming up, we've got some pretty good things going on. Kevin, you've got Cumulo. We finally got them scheduled to come in and get that gear to work. I think it's supposed to be racked, but is still in boxes.
I look at it as like probably a 600-pound pile of pain. So I don't want to be the only one racking it.
All right. Well, you'll have to find Adam to help you with that because yes. I will be out in Boston area doing some visits out there.
I think I just strained my spleen, so I may have to.
Yeah, there's a number of companies I'm going to visit with, Dell, of course, and Zerto, and actually one of them that I haven't spent a lot of time with, but I met at a Veeam event this summer is Wasabi. They're a low-cost cloud services provider. I know we've written about them a little bit, Adam, on the news side, but they're just, I can't say dirt cheap, can I? They're dirt cost effective.
Dirt cost effective. There you go.
In their cloud solution. And yeah, it's, I think that they've got some really neat things going on for archive tier, which is exciting. What else is going on in the lab with you, Kevin, this week?
Not a lot. It's been a little bit abnormally warm, so all of my fresh air cooling isn't doing as much, so we're running the office air conditioning more to cool our
love running the AC in January. It makes me feel so happy to pay that Duke energy bill at the end of the month.
Brought to you by Duke.
Yeah, not brought to you by Duke. Those bastards have not sponsored the podcast yet. Adam's your office a brisk 78 today?
It varies. In the summer, it's about 62. In the winter, for a while there, it was 77, 78.
Running the space heater during the peak of summer.
Yes, we do. I do have a space heater to keep my fingers warm in the summer so I can type.
That's one of the unknown problems with open air cooling. Like, there's a lot of really great things it does for us, like keep our electric bill at least manageable. But there are some side effects, and Adam is one of the key pieces of collateral damage caught up in the waxing and waning of the cooling and heating cycles in the lab.
I just had to start a fire down there, I think. We have a box or two I could burn.
We do have a couple things. We've been giving away a lot of stuff on Reddit still. So, you know, if you're a home labber looking for old pieces of equipment, as we give it away, make sure to check the home lab sales subreddit. We just gave away a couple hard drives on there today. And Kevin handed me some more gear to give away, so we'll keep cranking through that and spreading the love to the community as much as we can. We will be back on Friday. We'll have another podcast coming up this week. In the interim, though, feel free to keep in touch with us at info@storagereview.com, on Twitter and Instagram @StorageReview, and subreddit @r/StorageReview. By the way, we just tipped over 1,100 there, so we appreciate all those follows and look forward to engaging with you guys anywhere you want to find us. For now, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.